Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhurt, and got Brian Myers in studio with me, and it's just... It's been another week.
Yeah, you say that every week. I think every week you have some sort of
something
calamity.
New, yeah.
I understand that your car had a mishap.
Yeah, I'll just say this to our listeners. If somebody hits your car, or if you hit somebody's car, leave a note or, you know, knock on their door if it's parked in front of their house and you know their home. Just saying.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Isn't the protocol nowadays is hit and run, right? I mean, isn't that kind of how that works?
That seems to be the way it works with this particular individual. This is the second time it's happened.
Well, I was wondering, do you have a sign on your car that says hit?
It's called other dents I haven't gotten fixed. So I've got the broken window theory. My car.
Right.
You know,
right. Nobody cares about this car. Because see that dent?
Yeah.
Let's put another one in it.
Because I have teenagers, see? And so it seems like there's a effort to put a dent in each corner of my car. So anyway, what was once a nice Cadillac no longer is. And actually,
I shouldn't be sitting here laughing at you, but
but it's fun.
Well, yeah, it is fun. It's, in a word, yes, it's
at least
fun.
I could laugh about it because, first of all, I found out who it was. So my insurance is getting dinged and it's getting paid for. So
that is wild, though.
But listeners, if you hit somebody's car, do the right thing and let them know. Just saying. Okay.
Well, there's the problem. To do the right thing.
Right.
That's the problem right there.
I could bloviate all, but I'm not going to. But we can go on and on about
that. All right.
But we have, how's your death virus going?
Well, I still got a little growl going on, but I don't sound like Red Green anymore.
Last week was awful.
Boy, it was kind of scary.
So, yeah, I could see why you let Steve, kind of ride things while I was gone.
I didn't have
talking
any
with
choice.
You on the phone, so... Anyway, on the line, we have a friend of mine, Eric Gorenson.
What do you mean a friend of yours?
And I guess he's a friend of yours, too.
He's a friend of mine, he's a friend of yours, and he's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the masses.
He's the guy.
Anyway,
Eric Gorenson.
He is with Iowa Association of Christian Schools, and he's probably thinking, what the heck did I get myself into this morning?
Because, he's not thinking that because he knows us.
I know what I'm getting into. I listen to this show, and I listen to it for the reason that we just heard, which is, your deep discussions about the fact that it's been another week.
Thank you. Yes, we like to be profound and, insightful on this show.
Wow, dude.
I don't think I can add to that.
Wow, dude, another week. It's heavy.
Yeah. Well, we had something to talk about with my car. Anyway, you have something more important to talk about than my car. We have there's another push this year to get education savings accounts on the table and hopefully helping out Iowans with parental choice. For somebody who just, who's listening, who doesn't know what this program is, how would you describe education savings accounts?
Education savings accounts is a brand new idea, relatively speaking. It's an idea that's been around for just a few years, 4 or 5 years, and it has passed. There are two programs in the country right now that are up and running, one in Arizona and one in Florida. Florida's brand new. Arizona's had it for a few years. And the difference between everyone pretty much knows what a voucher is, and that's, the state or theoretically the feds and other countries, they do this at the national level. And they basically say, well, if you send your child to a school that isn't a traditional public school, we will pay for that education. And in a voucher situation, it's very prescriptive. It's if you go to this type of school, a certain type of private school, we will pay your way. And usually they pay directly to the school. In most voucher programs, sometimes it's paid to the parents and passed on to the school, depending on the constitutional issues. But what's different about an education savings account is the state says, if you do not send your child to a public school this year, we will put a portion of what we would pay to the public school into an account, basically a bank account. We mm-hmm. call them savings account. It's a little bit of a misnomer in the sense that it's just a bank account, a checking account type deal. You get a debit card, and you can go shop for education. It's not telling you have to go to this type of public school or educate in this type of way. It's much more parent-centered, and mm-hmm. frankly, and honestly, it's much more judicial review proof. In other words, it passes court muster even easier than vouchers, which are usually right. upheld by the courts, because it's empowering parents to make any number of choices. It's not government picking yet another winner or another loser.
Right. Right. Because, yeah, typically, I mean, in Iowa, I know with the vouchers, that just wouldn't go right now with the Blaine Amendment, right?
Theoretically, the Blaine Amendment could possibly be a hindrance. However, even in states with Blaine Amendments, vouchers have been found constitutional as long as the state isn't saying you have to go to a Catholic school or you have to go to a faith-based school. Now, we know that most private schools are faith-based just by their very nature so far, and because there isn't a lot of money in private schools right now, you don't go into private education right now to get rich.
Right.
So a lot of the schools are faith-based, but frankly, there are non-faith-based schools, a lot of non-sectarian schools around the country, and we have a number of them in Iowa. So even a voucher program can be argued that you're not supporting religion, you're supporting a parent's choice to send to a private school. However, the Blaine Amendment, which is in Iowa's constitution and is in like 30-some states' constitution, says right. that the state will not directly support a minister or ministry.
Hmm.
So is a school that's attached to a minister or ministry supporting a minister or ministry? That's question mark. And mm-hmm. if the parent has a choice between that or something else, is that supporting a minister or ministry, or is that supporting the parent and the child? And so True. Generally, courts have said, as long as you're empowering parents to make choices, and they have multiple types of choices, that's okay.
Okay, well, somebody's saying, hey, what about strings that could be attached to this? I know, we've seen in Indiana, some other states, some unfortunate strings get attached to assessments and standards, with assessments standards to the voucher program that they have, so suddenly, what the state system is coming into the private schools. Does that exist with education savings accounts, or does the potential exist?
Well, the potential exists if you have a bad bill.
Right.
What we have in Iowa is an education savings account bill that is not prescriptive. It simply tells the parents, here, thank you for caring enough about your kid's education that you're engaged enough to make a choice and to make maybe a different choice than the state would normally pay for. You go shop for it. It's not just schooling. You're in the traditional sense. It's the ability to go shop for your kids for special education needs, for some curriculum and computer equipment that carries curriculum, cognitive skills training, tutoring, educational therapies, online schooling, private schooling, in most versions of our bill, homeschooling. And so we've got a bill right now that just all the bill does is tell parents, you can go shop for education. There's no mechanism in the bill that tells those vehicles of education how to function. It
right.
only tells parents that they can shop. Now, there's one example that I can think of, and that's Indiana, where they attached strings. And forever, that's been the concern, especially among conservatives, is
uh-huh.
can't support state-funded anything because they always come with strings.
Right. Well, right.
We've never, ever seen that in any program except Indiana, and Indiana was a special case where, frankly, the process of getting the voucher program there passed escaped the control of the school choice proponents, and instead of killing the bill, they just kind of went along with it. And all I can say to people who are worried about strings is, in every other case, hasn't happened.
Okay.
And in the case of Iowa, if that did happen, we've learned from Indiana. That was a great lesson, and we would kill the bill before it ever got passed, or
Good
we
to
would
hear.
At least try to. Mm-hmm.
Good to hear. So what other states or where are some examples that education savings accounts are are happening and happening well?
Well, I mentioned Arizona and
okay.
Florida. And those are the two that are up and running, and they are more limited in scope than what we would do. But
okay.
Arizona, the whole idea of education savings accounts came about because Arizona passed a voucher program for special needs students.
Uh-huh.
And the court struck it down. It was one of the very few voucher programs that have been struck down. And it was mainly because the way that their voucher program was structured was not only was it a particular demographic, but it was also a particular kind of school that they could go to in reality.
Okay.
because of the needs of the students.
Right.
And so the court said, this is way too narrow. And so they said, well, that's fine. We'll do the same thing, but we'll do it through education savings accounts. We'll open up, we'll basically just simply empower the parents instead of writing a check directly to a school. And the court upheld it and said, that's right, that's a better direction to go. Well, okay. When the school choice movement as a whole saw that, not only was it a super innovative idea, but it can be scaled up to be universal, which is why our program allows all parents, regardless of their income or their address, to choose a number of different educational options.
Hey, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Eric Gorenson with Iowa Association of Christian Schools.
Eric, with respect to Iowa, do you see some bipartisan support here for ESAs?
Yes. The bill sponsors have been Republicans in general. The entire Senate Republican caucus, all the Senate Republicans sponsored our kind of gold standard ESA bill in the Senate the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the year before that, actually, it managed to attach it as an amendment to a bill, and it was defeated on a tie vote in a democratically controlled Senate. So we've had a Democrat or two vote for it, and we have a number of Democrats in both chambers who've told us that they're interested, they like the idea. And I think if it actually came to a floor vote, we would probably see it pass in a bipartisan manner. It's just the trick in Iowa and in many states is simply getting it to that floor vote.
Right, right. So there's a House bill as well that's a little bit different this year than compared to what we've seen before. You describe that?
Yeah, we have two House bills this year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And the first House bill was sponsored by Jake Heifel from Johnston, Grimes area, and he has a bill that's almost identical to the Senate version, which is the bill that we wrote as a school choice coalition and is universal and has all of the things that we were hoping for. And then the House leadership, House Republican leadership, drafted an alternative version of the bill that's a little more narrow in scope but still satisfies the criteria of it being an ESA versus a voucher. Mm-hmm. And we were willing to go along with that and entertain that for the sole purpose of the fact that it didn't violate our principles and there's no strings attached, and it was a good step in the right direction. However, it did not get a committee vote yesterday, so technically that bill is no longer up for consideration this session.
Okay. Because, Funnel, when is Funnel? Is that already happened?
Funnel was technically it's today, but okay. They're not meeting today, so it was last night.
Yeah, that just tells you how closely I've been paying attention to legislature.
that's what I'm here for.
All right, well, we appreciate that.
Do you have any prognostications with respect to when we're actually going to see bills turn into law on this particular issue?
You know, it's one of those, anyone who tells you that they, you know, we think this is going to pass this year or next year is blowing smoke. So,
right.
I'm always reticent to say what I think is going to happen because there's 150 legislators plus their staff plus grassroots activists and hundreds of lobbyists and citizens all across the state weighing in. So that's a lot of variables to account for. However, what I can tell you is that we're very, very encouraged at the progress we've seen. This is the second year in a row we've gotten it through a House subcommittee and into the committee level. It's the third year in a row we've been working on it. We've gotten a tie vote in the Senate on it as an amendment. We are moving forward, and what makes me even more excited is that we have never seen this amount of excitement in our grassroots. Our email lists have exploded in size as a coalition over the last year and a half, 2 years, and we just this week sent out an action alert and asked all of our supporters across the state to email their representative and their senator. And, you know, no one keeps records on this stuff, but I think if they did, if we didn't, we'd be very close to have broken some kind of record on the number of emails that legislators got over the last week. It was incredible. Thousands and thousands and thousands of emails
awesome.
To our legislators asking them to support ESAs.
So it seems to you at this point like there's some serious momentum behind this movement.
In the grassroots, I've never seen anything like it.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
That's excellent to hear. So hopefully next year we'll get the ball, you know, pushed down the field a little bit further or score a touchdown. That would
be
awesome.
This could take 1 year. It could take 15 years.
Right.
I just what
Ooh,
I.
Ooh, don't if say that.
If your listeners, if your listeners come away with anything, though, it's that we're not giving up, and we're not right. quitting until we get universal school choice for all Iowa families. And
right.
It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. Frankly, it's a matter of when.
Well, and frankly, as well, this is an issue that I think our listeners, when they go to the ballot box and when they talk to candidates, this is something they need to be asking them about.
Yep.
Where do you stand on school choice? What do you believe about parental choice in education? And if they're not good on this issue, I would suspect they're not going to be great on other issues you care about as well. So, Eric, just we don't have much time left, but I'm kind of curious. Have you had any discussions as far as alleviating the sunset on independent accreditation for non-public schools?
Yeah, we have. We've had a lot of discussions about that. We have until the year 2020 to remove the sunset provision, which would end the program for independent accreditation of private schools. And just for the 30-second background, it's Iowa was one of the only states in the country that accredited private schools through the states, through the State Department of Education. In fact, we're the only state that did it in practice. And now, as of the Ed Reform Bill of 2 years ago, we had a small provision put in there that allows us to have one of six independent accrediting agencies accredit us, which is more in line with what a lot of states do.
Right.
And the only caveat being that they put a sunset provision in there to force us to come back and talk about it some more and justify it and keep it around permanently.
Prove that the Iowa Department of Education wasn't the gold standard after all.
You know, regardless of whether or not they're the gold standard, which, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We just believe that schools deserve that choice. And frankly, the independent accrediting agencies are not only do they have compliance issues, you know, like check boxes, you did this, new filing cabinets all up to speed, which is a lot of what state accreditation is, but
yep.
They also keep us accountable to basically be who we say we are, and what is the mission and purpose of your school, and how can you demonstrate that you're meeting that mission
Great.
And achieving that? That's a much higher bar than we've ever had to achieve before.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Yeah, you do that all the time. These were not the words I expected to hear when I shared with my college roommate that I had hurt someone earlier that day. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. We know we're not perfect, but it is unsettling when someone brings into focus one of our blind spots. Blind spots, like the log in your eye of Matthew 7:3-5, should be dealt with as soon as you find them. I immediately took those biting words to heart, followed up on an example he cited, and purposed from that point on to use my words to heal rather than to hurt. Yes, it was hard to hear those unflattering words from my friend. However, as the scriptures say, faithful are the wounds of a friend. For those types of wounds lead to long-lasting healing. To get help with your blind spot, contact us at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And
And welcome back to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Caffeinate Thoughts Radio was brought to you in part by Travis Griswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. So it's this week we had kind of the big news of the week, and we're starting our news rundown a little bit early this week. Benjamin Netanyahu gave his speech to a joint session of Congress.
Yes, but it was a smaller joint gathering.
There were about 55 Democrats that decided to boycott because they're childish.
they were not happy that Speaker Boehner made this invitation unilaterally, and Mr. Obama was miffed, shall we say.
Yeah, because Congress has never invited foreign leaders without running it by State Department before. I'm sure it probably has happened. I can't believe this is the first time, but typically they do try to do that. But here's the thing. The State Department has not been best friends with Benjamin Netanyahu. And actually, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know, but the Obama machine has actually sent campaign staff over to Israel to work against Benjamin Netanyahu. So
perfect.
So I find it amusing when I hear Democrats say, oh, they're trying to impact American politics, as if we've not tried to impact Israeli elections.
Right.
So just get off your high horse.
Well, look, and the polls reflect this. The Obama administration has been such an absolute train wreck in terms of foreign policy.
Right.
It's an absolute disaster. And even Joe Sixpack realizes it. And so at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me a bit that there was an end run done by Congress on this particular speech. I mean, whatever you may think about Israel or Netanyahu, I mean, at the end of the day, it seems to me that the current administration is so pathetic in foreign policy that if they're moving in one direction, I definitely want to hear what the alternative is.
Right.
And Netanyahu's speech gave us that opportunity.
And he's the one, frankly, who actually has experience and wisdom when it comes to dealing with Iran and politics and what's going on in the Middle East. What did he say? Well, courtesy of Washington Free Beacon, they have they boiled down his speech into 2 minutes. We're going to play the entire clip because, it's only 2 minutes. But they'll give you a nice synopsis of different things that he said. This was a high octane speech.
These clips got a lot of good stuff in it.
Exactly. So we'll play this and talk about it a little bit.
We must all stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror. Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire. In this deadly Game of Thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy. The greatest danger facing our world is the marriage of militant Islam with nuclear weapons. We can't let that happen. But that, my friends, is exactly what could happen if the deal now being negotiated is accepted by Iran. Not a single nuclear facility would be demolished. Thousands of centrifuges used to enrich uranium would be left spinning. This deal has two major concessions. One, leaving Iran with a vast nuclear program. And two, lifting the restrictions on that program in about a decade. That's why this deal is so bad. It doesn't block Iran's path to the bomb. It paves Iran's path to the bomb. This deal won't change Iran for the better. It will only change the Middle East for the worse. The world should demand that Iran do three things. Stop its aggression against its neighbors in the Middle East. Stop supporting terrorism around the world. Stop threatening to annihilate my country, Israel, the one and only Jewish state. If Iran wants to be treated like a normal country, let it act like a normal country. We've been told that no deal is better than a bad deal. Well, this is a bad deal. It's a very bad deal. We're better off without it. The days when the Jewish people remained passive in the face of genocidal enemies. Those days are over.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
So, we... you think he's not a fan of President Obama's plan?
Well, again, I mean, this for me, this is a bit of a no-brainer. I remember reading some comments, I think on... it wasn't on Facebook, but it doesn't matter. Some comments by... Maybe it was on Politico from some leftward-leaning folks that were saying... Who is this guy to tell us, you know, about how our treaty should look? Blah, 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 blah. Well, duh.
Right.
These guys have a vested interest in this treaty.
Right.
He pointed that out. I think one of the points he made, I'm not sure it was in that montage of clips, but one of the points that he made was, you know, you're looking for security. The United States is looking for security in this deal.
Right.
Israel is looking for survival.
Right, right. And one of the things that he said, we heard a little bit of this clip, but here's the full context. This deal will not change Iran for the better. It will only change the Middle East for the worse. This deal will all but guarantee that Iran gets nuclear weapons. If this deal is signed, they're only a year away from the bomb. According to Netanyahu, Iran operates secret nuclear facilities, a reality that John Kerry has spoken to in the past. According to estimates, Iran could have 190,000 centrifuges enriching uranium in a matter of weeks. Weeks.
So what could possibly go wrong?
Right. And how did Democrats respond? Let's see here. Phoebe's speech was...
Do you have Pelosi on there? That was priceless.
Well, I don't have this one, but some of the statements they said is, an insult to the intelligence of the United States, a stick in the eye of the president, an exercise in circular reasoning. How? I don't think they understand what that means. This speech was straight out of Dick Cheney's playbook, said Congressman John Yarmuth, a Kentucky Democrat. A Kentucky Democrat. That's interesting. I didn't think there was any of those that they actually survived.
I thought they were all gone.
I can't imagine. Yeah. Huh. He might have a hard time next, you know, with this statement. They need to make a campaign commercial against that. Well, he said, I resented the condescending tone that he used. The man is fighting for Israel's survival. You think he's going to, I mean...
Condescending tone.
He was trying to emphasize to lawmakers that this deal is bad. I don't think he could, you know, I don't think he could say it any other way. It's a horrible deal. They need to get out of it. They need to, and I like what Netanyahu had to say. If we want to treat Iran as a normal state, they need to start acting like a normal state.
Well,
they can't sponsor terrorism. They can't constantly threaten the existence of Israel.
Well, that's something that a normal state doesn't do. But
right.
here we go. Did you know that the a supreme leader of Iran has a Twitter account? I didn't know that.
Oh my goodness, no.
No, check this out. The Iranian supreme leader tweeted that Israel must be destroyed. He put that out on Twitter. Now, I mean, forgive me, but I'm saying when Netanyahu says the worst thing that can happen is to have a marriage between militant Islam and nuclear weapons,
yeah,
I'm saying amen to that. I have no idea why this is so controversial. I really don't.
And
I get it that this guy is saying, please get rid of this deal. Let's do something different than this. I get that.
Yeah. Well, you know, he at least won over some Democrats. Senator Dianne Feinstein, who I don't like a lot of her policies, but sometimes with foreign policy, she could actually be a little bit reasonable.
Yeah, I think one of the things that some people have said is that she's an adult on these issues. She's
right.
Not just a hyper-partisan kook.
Right, exactly. And she attended a speech despite calling Netanyahu arrogant and criticizing the event severely beforehand. She told CNN's Dana Bash afterwards, I think it was a very powerful speech. Just from the two minutes we listened to, I don't see how you can come away and not say that. It was very powerful, very straightforward. You know, even it says Breitbart reports that even Huffington Post critic Mark Ginsburg acknowledged that Netanyahu made excellent points.
Duh.
Common sense.
Yeah.
Because he knows Iran. I mean, the man's been dealing with them his entire life. He understands the issue. President Obama is an ideologue who doesn't understand.
And he's a neophyte, too.
Right. And,
That's the thing that makes me crazy. Netanyahu has spent his entire life in the Middle East, you know, dealing with security and survival of his country. And we got this community organizer whose ideology is hard left, and he and his band of merry men are supposed to come up with a really good treaty with Iran. I'm sorry. I don't know that it could be any worse.
Right.
We have amateur hour going on mixed with left-wing politics that does not bode well for good foreign policy.
Exactly.
So meanwhile, as Netanyahu said, quote, Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror will not stop.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right. What indication do we have that militant Islam, as we see it in Iran in particular, is ever going to present anything but a threat? Is this deal going to stop that from happening? No. I don't think so.
No.
All I ever see this administration do is give stuff away.
Right. And the administration needs to explain exactly what Iran is doing in return for this. What assurances are they giving that they're giving up their march toward a bomb? I've seen none. They're not reporting any. It's just it's more like, oh, trust us. Oh, if we're only kind to them, they're going to just, you know, give everything up. They're going to give terrorism up. We don't. They're gonna you know, suddenly shower us with roses and kisses and you know, everything's gonna be nice and you know, we're gonna hug it out. That's not the real world.
And to a lesser extent, this is what we see with the Castro regime in Cuba.
Right.
After 5 decades or whatever, we just gave the thing away.
Right. And I don't mind us eventually working towards normal relationships with Cuba after the Castros are dead or out of power. They can't work with these folks.
Well, again, you asked the question, though. What did we get in return out of that deal?
Nothing. Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Maybe we got better access to good cigars.
Well,
I don't know.
There's that. There's that. And, you know, people could probably go for a cheaper vacation, maybe. I don't know. Let's go see socialized medicine. No, actually, you don't need to go to Cuba to see socialized medicine. We're getting it right here.
But that's what we see over and over and over again,
right,
with Obama foreign policy. Is you got amateur hour going on and hard left politics, which has a penchant for sort of wandering around the world saying, the United States has really been bad, and so we're not going to be like that anymore. That seems to be what they say, and that's what their actions reflect.
Right. And, you know, one of the things, too, that also jumped out at me with the speech is, yeah, Netanyahu can actually address the problem, militant Islam. And that's something our State Department and President Obama can't even say.
That's right.
And it's like, unless you can identify the enemy, how are you going to ever fight the enemy? Well, it's because we don't want to fight the enemy.
That's exactly the point, Shane. How in the world, if you can't even bring yourself to utter the phrase Islamic terrorism, what on earth makes anybody think that you're going to address it?
Right.
It's just nonsense.
Right. So
I don't get this.
I already had high respect for Benjamin Netanyahu, and it's just now through the roof. I really appreciate the man. I'm glad he came and he gave this speech.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if he wins re-election.
And Times of Israel editor called it the speech of his lifetime. And I think, he hit a home run. Because, you know, anytime liberals kind of go nuts, at least the batty ones, you know you're probably striking just the right tone.
That's a good point.
But the ones who are reasonable say, yeah, you made some great points. You made some good points. And
Nancy Pelosi went absolutely berserk.
Well, she's...
And so that tells you, right?
She's not a reasonable one.
Well, precisely. But
right.
my point is, when she goes berserk, that's a pretty good sign.
Right, exactly. So, well done, Mr. Prime Minister. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers.
When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Yeah, you do that all the time. These were not the words I expected to hear when I shared with my college roommate that I had hurt someone earlier that day. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. We know we're not perfect, but it is unsettling when someone brings into focus one of our blind spots. Blind spots, like the log in your eye of Matthew 7, 3-5, should be dealt with as soon as you find them. I immediately took those biting words to heart, followed up on an example he cited, and purposed from that point on to use my words to heal rather than to hurt. Yes, it was hard to hear those unflattering words from my friend. However, as the scriptures say, faithful are the wounds of a friend. For those types of wounds lead to long-lasting healing. To get help with your blind spot, contact us at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers and continuing on with
our news rundown.
Our news rundown, news that you could use.
Yeah, the highly caffeinated news rundown.
Right. Another item that's been big this week is information that's come to light about Hillary Clinton and her email.
She had her own, not only her own private email, she had her own private email server.
Yeah.
Which some people have been calling a dark server.
Dark server. The dark server.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
But what it means, it's a private server it's right. Not in the cloud someplace.
Right.
It was in her basement or whatever.
Right. You know what? And that would actually be just fine if she was using it for personal reasons.
Right.
So I don't disparage any elected official or any appointed official or to, you know, have a private email account. Obviously, yes, they should. They shouldn't have their email that's to kids and grandkids and whatnot and friends.
Sure.
Subjected to open records requests.
Right.
I get that. I understand that. That's cool by me. But when you're sending out State Department correspondence,
right,
using private email, then we have a problem.
And it was no small amount either, because she has apparently turned over at this point 55,000 emails to the State Department to go through. And of course, you know, her saying,
"How would you like that job?"
Oh yeah, they'll be working on those things, you know, 10 years from next Tuesday. I mean,
I'm sure they'll be working really hard.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, she's saying, "Oh well, you know, I want the public to have these emails. That's why we just need to have the State Department release all of them." Well, that assumes, of course, that she turned over all of the ones that we need to hear, or excuse me, that we need to read. And I, of course, forgive me for being skeptical, but I don't think that happened.
No, I don't think so either. And you know, I'm just trying to picture. I have to give kudos to the media. They're at least reporting on this. Because I, you know, they can, you, how can you not report
right,
on this?
Right, and now they're saying that, 300 of these emails are related to the Benghazi attack. I'm definitely interested in seeing those.
Definitely, definitely. And guess, you know, it, believe it or not, the New York Times actually broke the story. It says the controversy began Monday. Fox News report says the controversy began Monday after the New York Times reported Clinton has never had an official government email account for conducting official business.
Go figure.
I always, in whatever job I've had, I've always had a work email. Always. Even if I don't want it, I still have it.
And the Times broke this story,
right,
as you pointed out.
That's probably the most remarkable thing about
what's the story. What's Limbaugh call that? The random act of journalism?
Yeah. Anyway,
the old gray lady woke up long enough to do some actual reporting.
Right, right. Well, because, and you know, if it was a conservative, they've been all over it, you know.
True enough.
Right away. So they'll do it when it suits them. But this practice is a potential violation of federal law and also raises the question why Clinton went to such lengths to keep her messages off government servers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, originally they were saying, well, you could always search my replies to State Department officials.
Yeah,
can you imagine how long that would take to search through? That's insane.
Well, it's already going to be something that's going to last clear into the next administration. The whole thing's a joke. All right. Next one we got here. Our beloved Attorney General.
Beloved.
Yes. Yes. Has admitted, finally.
What has he finally done?
You mean that's good?
Well, not
that.
I mean, done as in, you know, he has resigned and they just voted for his replacement, so he's got to be going out.
I don't know what he's doing. Whatever it is, it can't be good.
Yeah, not that she's going to be any better, but anyway.
He finally admitted that the hands up, don't shoot slogan used by Democratic activists going clear back to August, I guess that'd be 2014, is a complete falsehood. Okay? Now, some of us knew that already.
Right.
Like, I mean, they're... Early on, we started hearing some people say, you know, this hands up, don't shoot stuff. There's a lot of contrary testimony to that. But, of course, you didn't see anybody in the media. You didn't see anybody in the government trying to calm that
down. Right.
Now. So here
right.
now.
They stoked the fire.
Yeah.
So here
we go.
So that I can recognize the findings in our report may leave some to wonder how the department's findings could differ so sharply from some of the initial widely reported accounts of what transpired, Holder said at a press conference. He basically said instead suggests the media and Americans recognize fakery. It remains not only valid but essential to question how such a strong alternative version of events was able to take hold so swiftly and be accepted so readily. That's
well,
great.
Duh.
That's a great point
think?
To make. But that, and
it's
this
a little
is,
late.
Right. And this is why, okay, listeners, and I'm sure those who listen to this show realize
all three of them.
Yeah, you can't get your news from us. You can't trust the mainstream media. No, I'm just some folks, but you know, realize not everything out there that's being reported is accurate. You need to use some discernment. Christian listeners, discernment is huge. It needs to be applied to not just voices we hear in culture, but also our media as well. Because we can't always trust what
Absolutely.
We read in here. Even if it is on the interweb, I know it's shocking.
All right, the next piece, you know what, let's talk about the global warming piece next week. Because we're running out of time, and I want to talk about this last one.
Sounds good.
This last one is an absolute shocker, to me anyway. This is in Lake Worth, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Where apparently the Communist Party is taking over.
It must be. Apparently. The city of Lake Worth is demanding that a church obtain a business license to continue operating. The city has threatened, apparently the church is called Common Ground, and the city has threatened Common Ground's landlord with daily fines up to $500 and a foreclosure on the property if the violation is not corrected by the landlord making the church get a business license to meet for worship.
Right.
I'm just like stunned. It's like, this can't be true. You know, this is something you'd see in the old Soviet Union.
But apparently, the city even sent an employee to spy on the church and record its worship activities. This video was captured on the city phone to be used for future court presentation. Are you kidding me? Here's the other thing. The Lake Worth City Ordinance specifically exempt churches and charitable organizations from needing a business license. So what the heck is going on?
This is so wrong at so many levels, not only the local level, but the state and federal level. A church, it's a non-profit. There's no business. I mean, I know some churches actually run, you know, they have a coffee shop. Sometimes they have a bookstore. But it doesn't sound like, I mean, other than having a coffee bar for their own members, I don't think that that's the case with this particular church. But even so, it's still, you know, it's not, I don't know any church that supports itself running those things.
Well, and here's the thing I think people need to realize. I know this from experience because, you know, in our denomination, we've got a case going on right now. It's not litigation. It has to do with immigration. But the church is a non-taxable organization.
Right.
It's not a tax-exempt organization. That's different. That might require a 501c3. A church does not require a 501c3 because it's not taxable,
right,
as opposed to tax exempt. So this whole thing is just nuts from start to finish.
It is. I was reading the transcript of the video that the government official, you know, the government employee took. It's like I walked back to the coffee bar and was able to visualize what appeared to be a ministry in progress, including someone speaking from a podium. He said Anne overheard. TV or projection with scripture verse on it. Rows of people sitting in chairs on both sides gathering, you know, like a gathering setting. Oh, wow. That should have been, you know, you can't make this stuff up article.
I was half tempted, except it's not funny.
No, it's not. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Yeah, you do that all the time. These were not the words I expected to hear when I shared with my college roommate that I had hurt someone earlier that day. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. We know we're not perfect, but it is unsettling when someone brings into focus one of our blind spots. Blind spots, like the log in your eye of Matthew 7:3-5, should be dealt with as soon as you find them. I immediately took those biting words to heart, followed up on an example he cited, and purposed from that point on to use my words to heal rather than to hurt. Yes, it was hard to hear those unflattering words from my friend. However, as the scriptures say, faithful are the wounds of a friend. For those types of wounds lead to long-lasting healing. To get help with your blind spot, contact us at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries, offering biblical counseling and conciliation. Call Scott Owen at 515-292-7141 or go to www.crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because
you can't make this stuff up.
All right. This story is out of Seattle, and we got this from the AP. All right. It's a job that might make you flush. Find easily accessible restrooms for Seattle area bus drivers and get paid nearly $100K a year. You like that, buddy?
Yeah. I think that would
100K
be...
$100K a year.
I could do that.
Well, yeah, I already do that. I know where every public restroom is within a certain radius of wherever it is I'm at. It's a, you know, it's a hazard of being old, okay? Anyway.
I've experienced that yet.
Bus service provider, King County Metro Transit, is looking to hire a, quote, comfort station coordinator, unquote, which comes with an annual salary as high as $97,000, depending on experience.
I'm wondering where...
Depending on experience. Give me a break.
You're shoo-in. You are shoo-in. Apply, Brian. You need to apply. We can find a way to do the show.
Right.
Yeah, you can just call
in
every
retire
week.
In Seattle.
Right.
Oh, man. Metro Transit spokesman Jeff Switzer tells KOMO television station in Seattle that the agency has a legal obligation to find access to bathrooms for the 2,600 drivers who keep the community moving. Oh, boy. Keep the community. All right. The State Department of Labor and Industries cited Metro Transit last November after an audit found drivers were not provided unrestricted access to restrooms, and some of them wore diapers.
Wow.
Keep the community moving.
Here's the thing. How is this an ongoing position? Because I'm thinking you map these things out once, you're done.
Ongoing.
Oh, gosh. That
stop.
I wasn't trying to be, you know, punny.
Oh.
But, you know, seriously, how is this an ongoing position?
And I don't know. But furthermore, how do you justify spending $97,000 on
it? I don't know. And I'm just where does one get experience doing this? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I think you
what kind of training is needed?
You kind of pointed it out earlier.
Is there a college degree that one needs to? I've got a Master of Arts degree, or actually probably be a Master of Science degree in bathroom engineering. And you know, I don't. Who knows?
Can't you see it? Literally, can't you see some guy sitting in front of a computer? And these bus drivers are radioing in and saying, oh, I got an emergency over at 39th and Kentwood.
Yeah.
You know, and he's clickety, clickety, click, click, click. Oh, yeah. Okay. Drive half a block down, Kentwood, turn right. I mean.
Right, right. I've never done bus driving, so I don't know how their shifts work, and I don't know when they actually, you know, that it is a natural concern. And it, you know what, it is unfortunate.
It's a natural concern, all right.
it is unfortunate that some felt that, you know, it was such a dire situation they had to wear diapers. I'm just wondering if some, no, I'm not going to go there. But
this is another one of those stories that literally is something that
here's
you couldn't
thing,
make
you know,
up.
I was thinking, you know, unless your route changes all the time, and again, maybe this is my ignorance, but if your route doesn't change all the time, wouldn't you get to know your route and know what bathrooms are available? Just saying.
All right, our quote of the day is from Will Rogers. We can't all be heroes because somebody has to sit on the curb and clap. as they go by.
That's probably fitting after this news story. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.